Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time to come out of our week of busyness, of noise, of traffic, and come to a quiet place to worship you. Lord, we ask that out of this stillness and quiet that your Holy Spirit will speak. And then indeed, these may not be my words, but yours. And that all ears, including my own, may hear the message that you have for us today. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, it may surprise you and shock Purdue fans that on All Saints Sunday, the Lord has put on my heart to talk about Bobby Knight.
I don't believe that.
So I read an article this week. There's been a lot of articles written on Bob Knight. He passed away on Wednesday, November 1st, this past Wednesday. And there's been a lot of articles written on him. And I read one by Jay Billis, who's a former basketball player, played at Duke, and has been a longtime announcer. And he actually, once Knight stopped coaching, Knight, you may have forgotten this, became a broadcaster. And him and Jay Billis traveled together to games to announce the games, to be the announcers for it, the broadcasters for the game. They played golf together. You know, they stayed in hotels. They traveled. They spent a lot of time together. They ate meals together. And so he really got to know him well. And so I really appreciated his article that he wrote on Knight, because I found out things I had never, you know, knew and would never know had he not shared them because of those personal times with him. And he told many stories. I'm going to share a few of those with you today. He told one story about a time in which Knight was in a press conference after the game. And if you follow Indiana basketball, you follow Knight, you knew he did not really like the media. He didn't handle them well. And he did okay unless they asked a question that was less than informed. And then he didn't do very well with them. And this reporter asked him a question that was less than informed. And Knight ripped him up one side and down the other. And after that press conference, Jay said, "Why did you do that? You know, this guy probably was covering like the high school band here in town. And then, you know, the crime scene, and then came over here. You know, he doesn't know everything about what happened and insights in basketball and all this." And Knight said, "You're right, I probably shouldn't have done that. I'm too far down the road to change now." And Bill said he understood what he meant, but that he didn't agree with him. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." May not be able to come back on our own, right? But with Christ, we're never too far gone. Knight also led a really clean program. You know, even to the minute details. There's a lot of details in college basketball and college sports about recruiting. And a lot of coaches fudge on those details. They're very particular, and there used to be more than they are, about when you can contact an athlete, you know, what you can say to them, when you can say it to them. There's all kinds of rules about that. And if you remember Ralph Sampson, who was at IU as a coach down the road after Knight left, he got fired because of violations related to recruiting. And it's you know, however you want to look at it, spin it, it's basically like cheating. Everybody's supposed to follow those rules. If they don't, then you find out you get fired. Well, Knight followed those rules, and he made the kids go to class. He made the kids focus on school. You know, today we see so many programs in which great basketball players are here at a school for 1 year, and then they're on to the NBA. Getting a degree doesn't happen so much anymore. But in Knight's time, there was a few that left, but the majority of his players graduated with a degree, even those who went on to the pros. He was a huge critic of ESPN for having games late at night and keeping student athletes from being able to, you know, do all their sports stuff and all the travel and still be a good student. And he was a tireless critic of them for that. So he fought for some good things. This is Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 23. The Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. There was a guy named Tony La Russa. You probably know if you're a baseball fan. He was a longtime manager, and most recently before he retired with the Cardinals, I believe. I could be wrong. But he won World Series, great manager, etc. Baseball legend. And at one game in which Knight was a broadcaster with Jay Billis, and Tom Crean was the coach. This was just a couple years after Crean took over the program. And it was a big win for Indiana. I can't remember who they beat. But they beat a big team in the tournament. It was a really big moment, especially in Crean's career, too, at IU. And so Larissa said, hey, Knight, after the game, I don't know, I guess he was there, he called him, you should go into the locker room and congratulate Crean and celebrate, you know, with the team this win, which was so big for them. And Knight said he wasn't going to do that. And La Russa kept after him and after him. And eventually, Knight exploded, which he'll do if you continue to prod him, right? And he said, I don't think I'm over that yet. I'll never get over that. And what he was talking about was being dismissed from IU in 2000, I think it was, for probably the university just being tired of putting up with him. In some ways, but also some things with a player, Neil Reed, in which he grabbed them, etc. But, you know, Knight probably expected, he'd been there since the 70s, won 3 national championships with IU. He expected to probably retire there and finish with honor there. And I think he felt like they robbed him of that. I don't think I'll ever get over it, he said. This is a passage you knew well. I preached on it recently. Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And you know, when I've read that verse, I've always thought of that verse as in like forgetting my own sins from the past and then going on. But after thinking about it in the context of what Knight said, I think it could have another meaning too. And that is, let other people's sins against me go as well. Forget about those, which are the ones that tend to drag us down and keep us from moving on. And strain forward for what is ahead. Knight had balance in his life. That may be a surprise to you. You know, many coaches are consumed with their job. They, as soon as the game's over, and certainly by the next morning, they're poring over tape. They're watching film, trying to get better at, you know, being able to be better at the next contest and continuously be better. But Knight was just as likely the next morning after a big game to be out fishing or hunting or playing golf or reading a really good book He was really well read, Billis said, and it was very often, it was hardly ever on books about basketball. It was other subjects that he read and learned about. And as Knight would speak his mind about any topic that anybody asked him about. You know, balance can be a really good thing, because one thing that balance does is it keeps us from idolatry. Now, you know, the first commandment, anything that you do to the point where it's just so much that it consumes you is probably something that's crowding God out in some way. And so balance can be really good. It keeps our priorities in check and reminds us that there's other things in life than whatever it is that we do or focus on the majority of the time. There's only one thing that the Lord calls us to be excessive about, it seems, and that is love. And in Deuteronomy 6:4, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. You may remember Coach K. He was the coach at Duke for many, many years. He won 5 national championships. He played for Knight at West Point. So Knight was his coach when Coach K was a player. And it's interesting to think about and to look at the ways in which Coach Knight influenced Coach K. And they, you know, as sometimes players and coaches have, the relationship, especially when they're both successful, wasn't always perfect. It was kind of a roller coaster. It was up and down. And oftentimes, and this is just the way Knight was, he'd hold grudges over things that were really small and really slight. And so any perceived slight that Coach K would give to him, which he probably wasn't even intended, Knight took that personally, and it continued that roller coaster relationship with his former athlete, even though he was incredibly proud of him. Knight wasn't great at expressing a lot of those things a lot of times. And I thought about, you know, the scripture from today in Matthew 5:11, in which it says, be glad when people say terrible things about you on my account. Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. Jay Billis said he learned a really important lesson from Knight about this. He learned just from watching that kind of play out with Coach K, who was Jay Billis's coach. You know, and he had feelings for as well. By watching that, he realized, I don't want to hold on to little things. I want to let those go and not get in the way of important relationships in my life. Jay Billis also told a couple stories that Knight didn't want told, that he had shared with him. And that is that Coach Knight, towards the end of his basketball coach at Ohio State, his name escapes me at the moment, was dying. And Knight would sneak into the hospital and hold his hand as he neared death. And he would go and do that multiple times during his illness. And, you know, I thought about Matthew 25:36. In which the Lord says, when did we see you sick and visit you? And the Lord says, when you have done it for one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you've done it for me. And then another time in which there was someone in the basketball world, I don't exactly know his role, but it was somebody in the basketball world that had fallen on hard times. And Knight, very quietly and without telling anyone again, paid all his debts that were weighing up against him and preventing him from, you know, living his life. And Matthew 6, verse 1-4 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And so, had Knight known that Jay was going to tell this, would have been very upset with him. If Knight would have had a chance to say that. And then finally, Billis says, and there's other stories in that article too. Let me know if you want me to send it to you. He says that Knight was his friend, and people couldn't understand that. And they constantly ask Billis, how can you be friends with him? And he finally just decided that he was going to stop trying to explain it, but that he liked the Bob Knight that he knew and that he was his friend. You know, Jesus loved a lot of people and called them friends that others despised and even hated. You know, one of the biggest charges against Jesus in his ministry and in his life from the Jewish authorities is that Jesus eats with sinners, with tax collectors, with prostitutes. That was one of the biggest charges against him. So it's clear that Jesus would have called Knight down from the tree and had dinner at Knight's house. And so perhaps Coach Knight reminds us today on All Saints Sunday most about what the big message is. And that is that none of us are saints, and that we're all sinners in need of Christ's grace and love. You know, I think that all the negative things that Knight did, I think most of those are the ones that are etched in the memories that people have about him. Unless, like Jay Billis, they knew him, right? Because most of what we see and saw from him, whether it was the throwing of the chair, whether it was the choking of Neil Reed, which I think eventually led to his dismissal, whatever it was, those are the images that we remember about Coach Knight. And I think something's interesting about Knight. He's the opposite of most of us. He's the opposite of me. You know, whether I'm honest about it or not, I want people to think I'm a good person. I want them to think that I do good things, right? Whereas there's all these other moments in my life I don't want people to know about, and I don't want people to see, right? I don't want that. But Knight's played out before everybody, like for everybody to see, and mostly it was the bad things, and they didn't see any of. He kept the quiet, the really good things. And so, you know, I wonder if in some ways Knight ended up living a much more honest life than most of us. And it's an open declaration, because it is honest, of how much we need Christ and his forgiveness and his grace, which I think is the message of All Saints Sunday. You know, and I wonder too, if our lives played out like a movie, like Knight's was on all the clips they show and re-show of the chair, or whatever else, if our lives played out like that, it's kind of like the way God watches everyone. That's the way it is for God. God sees all the good and all the bad. We don't hide it from him, right? He sees all of that. And yet, let's go to our second reading today. John, 1 John 3, verse 2. And it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. God values revelation. And when he talks about his son, Jesus Christ, he says, you're going to see him as he is when he returns. And then something else, even more miraculous. Did you hear this in there? We will be like him. That is miraculous. You think about our lives playing out before God. How could we even be close to being like Christ? And of course, it's miraculous because Christ makes us that way. And that's the only way that we would ever be like him. His blood shed for us upon the cross for our forgiveness and for our wholeness. That is the message of All Saints Sunday. That like night, our lives are one that desperately need God's grace. Every one of us. Amen.